Adam Sontag, the city administrator for the city of Ripon, is joining us this morning. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again.
I appreciate you coming in.
Of course.
The city is looking at an energy plan, or actually developed an energy plan. I guess this was a couple years in the making, maybe?
About maybe a little less than a year. We had applied for funding through the Public Service Commission. Rural Energy Startup Program, RESP. So the PSC gave us an RESP grant for $75,000 to complete our first energy plan. And really the idea was to look at the city's current energy consumption and find areas in where we, you know, can save money, become more efficient. The city has executed plans in the past, right, or projects in the past. We've, you know, taken streetlights and made them LED. We've retrofitted LED in terms of, lighting in buildings, all of that stuff. So some smaller projects. But what we sort of learned during some of the projects we've been doing, whether it's Senior Activity Center, library, public works building, all of those buildings are built to be really efficient, but we didn't really have a chance in the design there to talk a lot about renewables or how to kind of go that next step beyond just designing an efficient building. So the study and the plan really was kind of, you know, setting us up for the future as to, you know, making energy planning a bigger priority for projects, as well as just kind of reviewing what we were currently doing. So there's a presentation done. We contracted with a company out of Green Bay called GDS and Associates. They do a lot of energy planning across the state for schools and municipalities and private businesses. And generally speaking, you know, they looked at, you know, our newer buildings and said these have all been designed and are operating really efficiently. You probably could tweak some things, but generally speaking, pretty good. They looked at our wastewater treatment plant, which is by far our largest energy user. And they looked at our city hall, which city hall is not very efficient. It's been built on three different times. So we looked at other projects like solar. We looked at our fleet as well and making sure we are looking at renewable options there because, you know, our squad cars don't get a lot of miles per gallon, right? They're idling a lot. The things we can do there. And then we have, you know, one vehicle like a Maverick that's partial hybrid, and that thing can get up to 60-70 miles per gallon at times. So, you know, right, getting the right vehicle for the actual use, so it's more efficient. So that was presented. Some good information in there. Is it also information for the public? We wanted to make it more outreach as well and provide resources for businesses and community members, whether it's focus on energy, financing, grants, things like that, that are available for people to maybe become more energy efficient as well. Because our view, you know, from the city's perspective, it was we've done some things that have, you know, been more efficient, but the cost of electricity is going to do nothing but likely go up. So what can we do to at least kind of, you know, stabilize that for ourselves in our budgets and in our spending?
So this was like a 10-year plan?
Yep, it's about a 10-year plan. It had different suggestions and projects. And then what it allows us to do is basically build off of this grant. The PSC then has other grants. And so you can apply once you have the plan to actually implement a project. So we'll look next into, you know, what makes sense. You know, it's not like we're going to go all and buy, you know, a bunch of electric vehicles for our public works department. It's not like we're going to go putting up solar everywhere, but where this makes sense and over time, where we can implement and track things and make, you know, the right investment, we'll use this plan as kind of another, checkbox, right, to make sure when we're planning a project or when we see a problem, we can address it.
Okay. Another thing that is being done is kind of a revamp of the city's zoning code.
Yes, it's been that's been over a year in the making. But yes, the city contracted about a year plus ago to work on a zoning code update, and really there's not a lot changing in terms of the content of the zoning code. It's more of formatting. There are certainly some challenges within the current zoning code, how it reads and how people just have to interact with it. It's just pages upon pages, mm-hmm. and it contradicts itself, and it's been basically added upon and cobbled together over 30 plus years, right? So kind of resetting it all into more easier to use format that's more searchable or tableized. And then just looking at some of the uses and making sure it makes sense where what we're allowing in certain districts and what we're not allowing, what's permitted, what's required a conditional use, making sure definitions make sense for today versus, just like, work from home, for example, versus home occupations versus a residential business activity. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different little things. So the council or the plan commission held a public hearing in August. The common council reviewed the initial changes last week, and then in early September, we'll look at the full package.
Okay. So when this comes to development, this is a way for the city to make sure that everything is zoned properly.
Yeah, it provides the framework for how we develop as a community. So the zoning code is uses, right? Land use. So it at times maybe makes it more easier for development. Other times it maybe makes it more challenging for, obvious reasons. You don't want to make, you want complementary development and complementary uses so you don't have conflicts. So generally speaking, you have your residential districts, your commercial districts. You have your industrial districts and in some conservancy institutional. And it's none of that's really changing. It's just some of the uses within those are changing in terms of what's allowed and what's required for a conditional use and then what's not allowed.
We talked a little bit about the Pacific Street Bridge, mm-hmm. but not in great detail.
Yeah.
But the city has been awarded a major grant to correct this bridge problem.
Yeah, so the Pacific Street Bridge is our lowest rated bridge. We've been, a few years back, we had an engineering assessment done of all of our creek crossings, right? Not everything is a bridge, but it's considered a bridge. It's very bizarre, right? We have, I think, 13 or so bridges in the city or crossings. I believe three or four of those are DOT rated, which means they are 20 foot span or more. And if you're 20 foot span or more, you're allowed to obtain funding to rebuild bridges at an 80-20 grant through the state. And they have a program, and they've had this program for a long time. Well, that leaves like 8 or 9 bridges in the city that are under 20 feet that basically are the city's to fund, right? So Pacific Street being one of those, East Jackson is one of them. State Street Bridge, we reconstructed a few years ago. That was a few $1,000 project, and that was just kind of two box culverts. But there's utilities and other things, right? So it gets pretty expensive pretty quickly. But Pacific Street Bridge was by far the lowest rated bridges, rated a 2. And the state came out with what's called the Local Small Structure Improvement Program. And that program was at a 90-10. And what the state recognized is that they had a lot of bridges that weren't eligible for that other program, right? Mm-hmm. Pacific Street Bridge is only 19 feet. It's 1 foot short, right? Not eligible, right? Yet a bridge right down the road on Eureka is eligible because it's 20 plus feet. So we were awarded $1.6 million at a 90-10 split with the state. We'll work on finalizing those plans over the next couple of years. We'll also look at Pacific Street as that's been on our capital plan. Is the road is pretty in rough shape. There's other utilities there. There's lift stations. There's property acquisition. There's floodplain considerations that need to be made. So it's a pretty major project. So it's pretty expensive. And we obviously put inflationary impacts in there as well. So hopefully it comes in under that number. But and in total, we hope to do a pretty big project there altogether. The bridge is just sort of the first funded piece of that, and we'll begin planning that out. So as you can see there now, there's a couple like blocks on the side, and it's kind of shrunken, and that's because somebody hit one of the posts or the guardrails on the side, and we couldn't actually repair it because we would have to like repair the entire bridge. We couldn't put it back the way it was because that's not how you're supposed to build a bridge anymore. Just how they constructed it previously is not compliant, so and not safe. So the condition continues to fail, and it's still safe to cross at this point. And we would assume by the time we repair it, it'll still be safe to cross. But certainly. It has seen better days, and it's 60, 70 plus years old, I believe, some of the elements of the bridge. So that's one. We still have eight more to tackle over time. So we hope the state continues to fund these programs because they are very helpful, and these things are not cheap, and we have a number of them in our community.
Adam, thank you for joining us.
Of course. Morning. Thank you.
Appreciate it. We've been talking with Adam Sontag, who is the city administrator for the city of Ripon.